This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
We are on at our normal time for the first time in a while. Twins play tonight in Seattle against the Mariners. As a result, Tech Talk underway. Doug Swinhart joining us. And by the way, if you want to talk computers with Doug, there is an easy way to do it, and that is the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. And the number is 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Doug, kind of a cool, breezy Saturday here at the end of June, but a great day to talk computers. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, well, this weather is just unbelievable. Never grow lights, nice and cool wind, just beautiful, absolutely beautiful. Yeah. I think what people went up north this weekend, I think it might be chilly up there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It kind of felt chilly after a humid day on Friday, for sure. Let's get into some topics computer-wise. And I wanted to start today with something that we bring up from time to time on the program, and that is what to do with older equipment, stuff you're not using, clutter. It's always a good time to get rid of that stuff. One thing we do know is that electronic equipment of any type, whether it's a computer, monitors, we don't want to throw that in the trash. That is a bad deal. Printers, etc., that needs to be properly recycled. There's a lot of places to do it. Most electronics retailers will take it. Many cities, check with the city you live in. They'll have recycling programs where you can drop this stuff off. Sometimes there's a small fee, but you just can't throw it in the garbage. That's a bad deal.
Oh, for sure. And you know, Stevie, I think maybe people should rethink that. The people who watch the tech market, they're actually expecting a 15 to a 25% increase in the next 3 months on anything to do with computers. Whoa, that's a big jump in a short time.
Yeah, it is. And once again, it's easy to put this stuff on a shelf or put it out in the garage, but we just want to remind people up front, properly recycle. Once again, I know in the community I live in, every now and then we'll get an email or the city website will say, hey, it's a free recycling day. You can drop off your stuff. And that's true with chemicals and paint and that sort of thing. But once again, we want to make sure we properly recycle electronic equipment. And there are organizations around town that will take it as well, sometimes for free or a very small fee. But let's be responsible with that old equipment, make sure it doesn't end up in the landfills.
Good advice. Really good advice. This stuff isn't going to go away. It needs to be recycled. We need to get as much out of this equipment as we possibly can. And when we're done with it, it needs to go someplace where somebody else can reuse the materials. Yeah, that's good advice. For sure.
Yeah, and they do mine this equipment. There are metals in there that have value, and some of the plastic is repurposed as well. So be sure to properly dispose of that. Doug, here's a good one from our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. You see this on television, hear it on the radio. You'll see ads for it pop up on your computer screen. It is ads warning about the dark web and other risks. Something comes from Norton. I know there are others. What about this and those risks? How concerned are you about the dark web and what info floats around out there?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting that you brought that up, because last week I got a notice from Proton that said, you know, we do this automatic check for you once a week, and we found that two of the passwords that you're using have been discovered on the dark web as being for sale. Really? And I looked, and both of them were like from 20 years ago. Honest to God. So from time to time, update your passwords. I went through and I changed all those other ones that were still active. I didn't get hacked, but I find that interesting. 20 years? Whoa. But that tells me, too, that these people on the dark web, they're buying garbage data. I like that. But you should be concerned. From time to time, you got to update your passwords. Try not to use the same password on everything. If you got a good password manager, it'll create your own password. It'll create passwords for you. But that's crucial, absolutely crucial. And so I would also tell people, just a reminder, I never, ever log on to a website using Facebook or LinkedIn or Google. Keep them separate. Don't tie them together. No good can come from that, ever.
Yeah, and
they started as a convenience, but if anything ever happens, it's going to be an absolute nightmare to unwind.
Yeah, and Doug, I'm glad you bring that up, because anytime you buy a new product, and it could be a reputable retailer, that they'll say, well, do you want to log into this site through Google or some sort of other means? And we've talked about that from time to time, but it's super important to stress, you don't want that stuff intertwined. It's the easy button, so to speak, but it's not best practice. There's no doubt about that.
And if you ever read these contracts, it talks about how they're going to use your data and how they're going to keep it all private, them and their partners. Well, you've just multiplied partners here. We don't know who we're doing business with most of the time, and that's the bad part.
Yeah, and keeping the passwords. I know there are password managers that you've talked to. I also think it's good coming up with a password strategy, things that you can remember, have all the elements you need, and it seems as though the requirements for longer passwords, and make sure that there's letters and numbers and symbols, etc., in those passwords. But coming up with a system and having a handful of go-to passwords, you don't want one that you use for everything. That is a real bad deal as well.
I agree. This is really interesting, too, because if you look back in time, we used to say, well, all you got to do is remember your Google password and put a doc up in Google Drive. That's not effective anymore. And in addition to that, with everybody forcing users to use dual authentication and or some kind of a key pass, I'm seriously looking at one of these little security keys that you can get on Amazon for, well, it depends on what you get, 20 to 50 bucks. But some of them, you don't even have to do anything. Just being close to the computer, pick it up from via Bluetooth. I'm thinking maybe a key generator might be the way to go. I'm going to practice that a little bit. But if you don't have anything like that, I suggest Proton Pass, wonderful pass manager, or KeePass, which also is cross-platform. That's the big thing. You want to cross-platform. You want to be able to access this password manager from your phone, if you got a Mac, if you got a PC, if you got a Linux machine, shouldn't matter. You should be able to access that data from anywhere, and you alone access that. Then set up some type of fail-safe for your family, just in case something happens to you, so they can get in your data, God forbid, if you pass. And other than that, it's really just keep it simple.
Yeah, I also think that is an important thing to remember as well, is having a handle on that and sharing with loved ones some sort of mechanism to get at your information if something bad happens. And that's like having insurance, etc., because it can make things a whole lot easier for people to deal with the aftermath of something bad happening, to get things in order, if you will. So, you know, sharing that, having some sort of means for that person. Once again, for a lot of key accounts, my wife and I are privy to those passwords. They're not written down on a post-it note on the keyboard or anything like that. But we have an understanding of what the passwords are, and that's important.
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely. And the thing is, I probably get, I would say, probably 10 calls a year on this. And can you help me? Well, I really can't because I don't have any control over that server. But I can give you some steps that you're going to have to take. You got to get death certificates, and you got to get copies, and you got to be ready to have this thing go on for a month to 6 weeks. It usually takes that long to unwind them. It's not an easy task at all. And it's set up that way to protect people.
Yeah, and you can understand why the banks, et cetera, credit card companies want to make sure that that is secure. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Internet service providers. It's important to have fast Internet. There are a lot of options in the marketplace, and there are more and more competitors coming into the marketplace that make it confusing. So we'll get into that. And by the way, if you want to visit with Doug about computers, hardware, software, whatever, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line is the way to do it. You can reach us at 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk on a Saturday, cool, breezy, to close out June already. So that mild winter has turned into a very wet spring and now a cool start out of the summer. Once again, Doug Swinehart joining us. And by the way, you can reach Doug on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. And before we get into internet service providers and what's available out there, and there's a lot of competitors coming online, I do want to get to this one from our text line, and it is a good one. And someone wants to install Linux, and that's great. But what version do you recommend for a beginner? And Doug, I'm sure it depends.
Yeah, probably would recommend Linux Mint, first of all. But if you're new, don't be afraid to try several distributions. Once you have a machine that you can work on, it doesn't take very long to install it and run at least boot from a CD or a DVD or a USB and take it for a test drive. I've also been looking at another one called Void, V-O-I-D. I think it's a little bit rare yet, but that one's going to be an up-and-comer for sure. No question in my mind of that. But for a beginner, a newbie, I'd say Linux Mint and go with the XFCE desktop. You'd be more than happy.
All right, good. And once again, is this a do-it-yourself project? I mean, in reality, someone that, you know, isn't a computer expert, is this something they can do, Doug, in your opinion?
You know, it really is, but I think this, and this is just my personal belief, if you have an interest, it's going to come very easy. If you really don't want to do it, it's not going to come at all. So it really is the individual. But I will say this, if you're willing to take 4 to 5 hours at most, you'll definitely have something up and running. And you will be glad that you did, because it will expand your knowledge and it will make your comfort level much, much higher than it was before you started. So yeah, I by all means, jump in and take it for a drive.
All right, let's bring in Jerry in St. Paul. Jerry, you're on Tech Talk with Doug.
Yeah, hi, Doug. This is Jerry, and I've met you before. I've got an HP desktop, and when I'm in LibreOffice, I'll type up a letter and give it a title and save it. And next thing happens is it appears on my home screen as a form of a little letter, like a little icon or whatever you call it. And so I've got these, I have at least 10 of these letters on my home screen, and I don't know how they got there, and it's knocking some of the other icons off the screen. So I don't know what's going on.
Are you saving this to a specific folder?
No, I just simply it says, do you want to save it? Yes, I give it a title, That's it.
Yeah, I know what's going on. At one time, you actually saved a document or something to your desktop, and that became your default. If it asks you if you want to save it, do a save as, or tell it no, and then do a save as. And make sure that they're going into your documents or whatever folder you've selected for that particular document. And if that doesn't work for you, give me a holler, and we'll see if we can get connected up and get you taken care of. It's good to hear from you, Jer.
All right. And by the way, Doug's phone number and email will be available at the end of the program if you want to reach out to him during the week. Once again, we'll throw that out at the end of the program. Saving things to the desktop. That is not a good idea. Setting up folders, saving documents, organizing those things. We talk about it all the time. It is a big deal. But putting a lot of stuff on the desktop, shortcuts, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But actually saving things to the desktop, generally not a good thing.
Outstanding advice. And I tell people too, you know, if it's something that's temporary, say, for example, you want to download ADW Cleaner and run a quick clean. That's an executable file. You put that on a desktop where it runs, and as soon as it's done, get rid of it. Right-click on it and delete it when you're finished. Yeah, don't let your desktop get dirty. I'm glad that this concerns Jerry, because he'll keep a nice desktop then. We'll get him squared away.
Yeah. By the way, we have another one from the text line that we want to get to, and that is the Brave browser. Mm-hmm. Does the Brave browser have built-in password assistance? Google does a really nice job of managing passwords, etc. I've had good luck with that over the years. Same thing with Brave. Does that help with passwords?
Yeah, they do. They've got a regular little thing set up, but I recommend that people keep that separate.
Okay.
It's kind of like, how do I say? It's like having your website file saved at the same registrar where you've got your domain name registered. You can do it, but it gives you a lot more control if it's two separate businesses. And if something happens to one, well, then they got to answer to the other one as well. And it's the same thing with password managers. I think that it should be, well, like KeePass is a separate program. It's open source, doesn't cost you anything, cross-platform. And there's several of them that are really good lately. But I really prefer ProtonPass. It's just easy. It's all web-based. There's nothing to install. You just sign up and go rock and roll. And take a look at their VPN while you're there as well. Yeah, it's definitely a good thing to think about and a good thing to manage is passwords, but do it right. And I don't know. I haven't had the best luck with Google Password Manager either. It's continuously asking me this and try this and change that. Pretty demanding. And I find Apple Password Protection kind of the same way. And they're doing it for people's protection, for sure. But if you're aware of what you're doing, you shouldn't need that much guidance. That's my opinion.
All right. Call, a couple of great texts, a break coming up for the weather, and then still plenty of time to reach Doug on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. The number is 651-461-9226. And, of course, Josh Wheeler is our producer today, doing a great job. You call the studio, you'll visit with Josh, you text, that'll get us right into the program, and we can put you on the air. When we come back, we promise we'll get into Internet service providers. There are a lot of options and more coming online, and Starlink has a new product where you'll actually be able to reach those low-level Starlink satellites with a portable kit that will fit in a backpack. We'll get into all of that coming up in a moment here on News Talk 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swindehart in at our normal time for the first time in quite a while. We're on the air Saturdays between 3 and 4. Sports schedules permitting, of course, and you can reach the program if you want to talk to Doug about computers on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And once again, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program, and Doug will get back to you as soon as he can. And Doug, we did have one that came in during the break. What is a password manager that you recommend? Someone didn't catch all of that. Maybe you can spell that out for us.
Sure. It's ProtonPass. And you can get it at Proton, ProtonME. And just take a look at all their products. They give away most of them to test and email for free forever. It's a great program. Great people to work with. But their password manager is really unique. It went in and it picked up all my passwords came up with a list of the ones I should change as soon as I get time. Didn't push, didn't demand. And I got it set up maybe, I don't know, 3-4 hours. I love this thing. I've been using it ever since. So that's my password manager of choice, Proton Pass at proton.me.
All right, .me being the key.
Yep.
Here's one that I don't think we've ever had on the program. When Microsoft ends support for Windows 11, is there another operating system I can use without replacing my computer? And I know your answer to this, Doug.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you know, and they're saying that they're going to have 12 locked up if you don't have the proper hardware. There's people on the net that have already broken through it. You're going to be able to install 12 as well, just not through Microsoft. And is it cheating? I don't know. It's a real gray area. I don't think they've challenged it yet in court. I don't think that there is much they can say. They give it away, so we're still the product no matter what. But I would recommend at that point, if you're concerned with that, set up a dual boot with Linux. Take your time making the transition, but the faster and the sooner you do that, the better off you're going to be as a whole, I believe. Anyway, so that'd be my advice. But don't throw away that computer. If you want to throw it away my way. I got somebody I can give it to. Don't get too weird. I don't think you have to worry too much about 11 either. I'll bet you money that it'll probably run 6 months to a year after they stop their support.
Well,
just cut the ties and move forward and just be careful.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even really panic because there are so many other options. We bring up Linux all the time, especially for older computers. There's probably a distribution that'll work just fine and allow you to do what you need to do with your computer. I think this idea that we're married to Microsoft in some way, it couldn't be further from the truth.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, they do really well at marketing. But I still scratch my head and I say, listen, you know, you guys have been at this for 40 years. You're the best in the world.
Yeah.
Linux has a secure operating system. Why don't you? It's just that alone kind of just leaves a bad taste in my mouth, I guess.
Yeah. So there are plenty of options beyond that. Here's another good one from our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. The number is 651-461-9226. What is the best UPS uninterrupted power supply for one or two computers? I think that is a valid question. Protecting your equipment with that uninterrupted power supply or UPS is a good idea.
Probably one of the best investments you can make. It will add years of life to any electrical device. But as far as a computer, you don't have to get too carried away. If you got a newer computer, smaller computer, it doesn't take a whole lot of electricity, you'd probably pick one up for $60, $70. If you want to go whole bore and get something that's like take care of your network or at least a server, you're probably going to be under $200, but they last practically forever. What does go bad from, well, I think I've changed one battery, I think, in 10 years. And they send you the battery, you send your battery back to them, it's disposed of properly. And if I'm not mistaken, it cost me $60. So I've got one UPS from American Power Supply, APC, that I believe is close to 25 years old. I've replaced the battery once. I've got two other ones that I bought since then, one on my TV and my entertainment center. I wouldn't be without them. I think they're just a creme de la creme, and they will save you money in the long run. I guarantee it.
Yeah, a very good investment. And really, if you've got a lot of money in a large display, for instance, smart television, etc., it really is well worth the money to make sure. And once again, it's like having a fuel filter in your car. It's just kind of a clean power, steady power to any important expense of electrical equipment. And
that's a fantastic analogy. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, you're getting clean power. If you put an oscilloscope on, and it's just the cities, it's everywhere. We are suffering with our electrical at this point. Our grid is really overtaxed. And if you put an oscilloscope on there, it'll show 18, 20% variance each way, up and down. Now, you put a UPS, a non-interruptible power supply in there, and put an oscilloscope into that, it's 1% to 2%. It really is like putting clean gas in your car. That's a great analogy, Steve.
Yeah, and I've learned that from you over the years. That's the way you've explained it, Doug, and it is a great way to go. Another thing we want to get into, and that is, and people see, hear the ads all the time for various internet service providers.
Oh.
I would say the most aggressive in the marketplace right now is T-Mobile with the appliance. It's about the size of a coffee pot, if you will, or a coffee maker that you set on the counter somewhere in the house. It brings in 5G cellular signals from T-Mobile and converts that to home Wi-Fi to run your smart TV, your laptops, your computers, what have you. And they're pricing it very aggressively, et cetera, $50-$60 a month, and so on and so forth. Of course, there's wired connections, CenturyLink, Xfinity from Comcast, all of those types of providers, depending on where you live. You know, that hard wire coming into the house, whether it's a coax or DSL or what have you. Satellite, Starlink. There are options there as well. There are other providers coming into the marketplace offering fiber, etc. Doug, where do people go? Where do they turn? I suppose it depends on their situation.
Oh, yeah. You know, this is and something interesting in our area, Steve, that I'm surprised you haven't gotten a notice yet. CenturyLink was acquired by Lumen Company. And Lumen Companies at that same time was starting their own fiber company called Quantum Fiber. They acquired CenturyLink, and CenturyLink will be, I believe, only providing DSL up to 128 or 256 megabits. So there, anybody like your CenturyLink, I think it's going to convert to Quantum.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be interesting. This appears to be an extremely aggressive company. They're putting in equipment like crazy. Xfinity now is upgrading all their equipment, and they upgraded equipment in my place, and I'm having some difficulty. I think I'm going to have to call them this week. It's getting a little out of hand, and I'm going to need some advice as to what's going on. I mean, it's just bizarre. But we'll get that worked out too. But I'm waiting for this Quantum Fiber. I think when it hits, I think I'm going to try it.
Yeah, and then, of course, another big player, they're doing launches all the time, and you probably see it in the news. SpaceX did another launch of X amount of Starlink satellites, and Starlink continues to be an option, whether you live in the cities or you live out in the country and you really don't have any wired option, or 5G isn't an option. And now they've added a brand new feature, and this is Starlink Roam, and that is a smaller piece of equipment, and once again, you still have an upfront equipment cost, $500-$600. Some areas of the country where demand isn't as great, they're discounting, and it can be expensive, over $100 a month, but this can be an option, and this is really kind of a quantum leap from the old satellite-based internet service providers. This is a whole different new network, low-level satellites, high speeds, a lot of bandwidth, etc.
Oh, yeah. You know, and people say, well, it's new technology. Well, it really isn't. Low-level satellites, they've had in Japan since the early 80s. They can't really bury cable in Japan because of their terrain and the hurricanes and weather and whatnot, earthquakes. So they've been using low-level satellites for years. Now, I will say this. The low-level satellites that SpaceX is putting up is brand-new technology within, but the technology of low-level is still proven, tried, and true. And I look forward to them getting as many satellites up. So he wants to cover the globe. And I think internet service and cell phone service is going to take a huge leap forward once he gets that accomplished. It's going to be a new day. I look forward to that for sure.
Yeah, there are thousands in orbit now, and they're launching sometimes multiple launches per week as of late, continuing to expand that network. But it could be a good option for snowbirds. Hey, pack this thing up and you go to Arizona or Florida or Texas or wherever you go and bring your internet with you, and then at least you don't have two bills, one at the place down south and one here in the upper Midwest. So it could be a very good option.
Well, you get me going with that. I've been saying for years that people should be charged for usage, no matter where you are, no matter where you're connected. You have one internet. You're one person. You're only connected one place. This nonsense of having to have one at the cabin, one at home, one at work, there's really no reason for it. It's just put together for the big corporations to make more money and thus get to pay more. There's ways around this that would just make so much more sense and save a ton of traffic on the internet to boot.
Kind of a pay-by-IP address.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or whatever. It's pretty simple. They've got us all identified now anyway, so it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's have some good come of that.
Quick break. 11 minutes now in front of 4 o'clock. Tech Talk resumes in a moment. If you want to reach us, you are able to do it on our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk, final minutes of the program. We'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program. We'll have all the news and weather at 4. Then Steve Carney will take us outdoors. We'll get into a big sports Saturday, talk Twins a little bit later on. Loons are in action in Portland. As a matter of fact, Loons in Portland, Twins in Seattle tonight. I doubt they shared a charter out there, but we can't be too sure. And a little bit later on in the program, we'll put a wrap on the men's gymnastics finals underway at the moment at Target Center. The women's finals are tomorrow night. All right, Doug, back to APCs or APC, the UPS Uninterrupted Power Supplies. The APC brand, that's what you typically use, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other good ones, too. Triplight. I know that Cyber Guys have really improved theirs, but once I find something that works, I kind of stay loyal with it, Steve. So I'm definitely biased towards American Power Supply. They're just it. They got all the big ones for most of the emergency centers around the country, and they've been supplying homeowners for many, many years. People with high-end stereo equipment. Just really big. And they make them for rack mounts and you name it. They've got it. There's no question in my mind. You'll definitely find what you need. And you won't overspend.
Yeah. And once again, there's a lot of good brands out there. Do your research. But well worth the investment for sure. This is a text about older iPhones. And this will probably have to be it. We got to go quick. Mm-hmm. Someone has an older iPhone and it won't update. It's time.
Time to get a new one. Yeah. You really don't have a lot of choice. Yeah. Apple brings these things end of life, and it's just part of the thing. But they would have told you that up front. There's no question. I mean, Apple does this. They can't let their equipment go on forever. It'd be supporting everything. If it still works and you want to gamble, that's okay too. But I think it's time for a new phone.
Yeah, and some of the apps, you're not going to be able to update apps. There's security issues, et cetera. Yeah, it is a bummer. Even if you take care of them, they are doomed to fail at some point.
Doubt.
All right, Doug, we've got to run. Your phone number and email, how do people reach you?
Oh, thank you, Steve. 651-552-9543. And, of course, admin@WCCOTech.com. admin@WCCOTech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve, and have a good weekend.
Yeah, good to visit with you, Doug. We'll do it again soon. Thanks so much for the time. There he is, Doug Swindhart, Tech Talk. Saturday is between 3 and 4. Once again, sports schedules permitting. And today's sports schedule permitted. Twins are in Seattle later tonight. Here on News Talk 830-WCCO, we'll have all the news, all the weather coming up momentarily. Then we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney on a Saturday here at CCO.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
We are on at our normal time for the first time in a while. Twins play tonight in Seattle against the Mariners. As a result, Tech Talk underway. Doug Swinhart joining us. And by the way, if you want to talk computers with Doug, there is an easy way to do it, and that is the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. And the number is 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Doug, kind of a cool, breezy Saturday here at the end of June, but a great day to talk computers. I hope you're doing well.
Yeah, well, this weather is just unbelievable. Never grow lights, nice and cool, cool wind, just beautiful, absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
I think what people went up north this weekend, I think it might be chilly up there.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. It kind of felt chilly after a humid day on Friday, for sure. Let's get into some topics computer-wise. And
there you go.
I wanted to start today with something that we bring up from time to time on the program, and that is what to do with older equipment, stuff you're not using, clutter. It's always a good time to get rid of that stuff. One thing we do know is that electronic equipment of any type, whether it's a computer, monitors, we don't want to throw that in the trash. That is a bad deal. Printers, etc., that needs to be properly recycled. There's a lot of places to do it. Most electronics retailers will take it. Many cities, check with the city you live in. They'll have recycling programs where you can drop this stuff off. Sometimes there's a small fee, but you just can't throw it in the garbage. That's a bad deal.
Oh, for sure, for sure. And you know, Stevie, I think maybe people should rethink that. The people who watch the tech market, they're actually expecting a 15 to a 25% increase in the next 3 months on anything to do with computers. Whoa, that's a big jump in a short time.
Yeah, it is. And once again, it's easy to put this stuff on a shelf or put it out in the garage, but we just want to remind people up front, properly recycle. Once again, I know in the community I live in, every now and then we'll get an email or the city website will say, hey, it's a free recycling day. You can drop off your stuff. And that's true with chemicals and paint and that sort of thing. But once again, we want to make sure we properly recycle electronic equipment. And there are organizations around town that will take it as well, sometimes for free or a very small fee. But let's be responsible with that old equipment. Make sure it doesn't end up in the landfills.
Good advice. Really good advice. This stuff isn't going to go away. It needs to be recycled. We need to get as much out of this equipment as we possibly can. And when we're done with it, it needs to go someplace where somebody else can reuse the materials. Yeah, that's good advice. For sure, for sure.
Yeah, and they do mine this equipment. There are metals in there that have value, and some of the plastic is repurposed as well. So be sure to properly dispose of that. Doug, here's a good one from our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. You see this on television, hear it on the radio. You'll see ads for it pop up on your computer screen. It is ads warning about the dark web and other risks. Something comes from Norton. I know there are others. What about this and those risks? How concerned are you about the dark web and what info floats around out there?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting that you brought that up, because last week I got a notice from Proton that said, you know, we do this automatic check for you once a week, and we found that two of the passwords that you're using have been discovered on the dark web as being for sale. Really? And I looked, and both of them were like from 20 years ago. Honest to God. So from time to time, update your passwords. I went through and I changed all those other ones that were still active. I didn't get hacked, but I find that interesting. 20 years? Whoa. But that tells me, too, that these people on the dark web, they're buying garbage data. I like that. But no, you should be concerned. From time to time, you got to update your passwords. Try not to use the same password on everything. If you got a good password manager, it'll create your own it'll create passwords for you. But that's crucial, absolutely crucial. And so I would also tell people, just a reminder, I never ever log on to a website using Facebook or LinkedIn or Google. Keep them separate. Don't tie them together. Just no good can come from that ever.
Yeah, and
they started
out
at a convenience, but if anything ever happens, it's going to be an absolute nightmare to unwind.
Yeah, and Doug, I'm glad you bring that up, because anytime you buy a new product, and it could be a reputable retailer, that they'll say, well, do you want to log into this site through Google or some sort of other means? And we've talked about that from time to time, but it's super important to stress, you don't want that stuff intertwined. Yes,
no.
it's the easy button, so to speak, but it's not best practice. There's no doubt about that.
And if you ever read these contracts, it talks about how they're going to use your data and how they're going to keep it all private, them and their partners. Well, you've just multiplied partners here. We don't know who we're doing business with most of the time, and that's the bad part.
Yeah, and keeping the passwords. I know there are password managers that you've talked to. I also think it's good coming up with a password strategy, things that you can remember, have all the elements you need, and it seems as though the requirements for longer passwords, and make sure that there's letters and numbers and symbols, etc., in those passwords. But coming up with a system and having a handful of go-to passwords, you don't want one that you use for everything. That is a real bad deal as well.
I agree. This is really interesting, too, because if you look back in time, we used to say, well, all you got to do is remember your Google password and put a doc up in Google Drive. That's not effective anymore. And in addition to that, with everybody forcing users to use dual authentication and or some kind of a key pass, I'm seriously looking at one of these little security keys that you can get on Amazon for, well, it depends on what you get, $20 to $50. And some of them, you don't even have to do anything. Just being close to the computer, pick it up from via Bluetooth. I'm thinking maybe a key generator might be the way to go. I'm going to practice that a little bit. But if you don't have anything like that, I suggest Proton Pass, wonderful pass manager, or KeePass, which also is cross-platform. That's the big thing. You want to cross-platform. You want to be able to access this password manager from your phone, if you got a Mac, if you got a PC, if you got a Linux machine, shouldn't matter. You should be able to access that data from anywhere. And you alone access that. Then set up some type of fail-safe for your family, just in case something happens to you, so they can get in your data, God forbid, if you pass. And other than that, really, just keep it simple.
Yeah, I also think that is an important thing to remember as well, is having a handle on that and sharing with loved ones some sort of mechanism to get at your information if something bad happens. And that's like having insurance, etc., because it can make things a whole lot easier for people to deal with the aftermath of something bad happening, to get things in order, if you will. So, you know, sharing that, having some sort of means for that person. Once again, for a lot of key accounts, my wife and I are privy to those passwords. They're not written down on a post-it note on the keyboard or anything like that. But we have an understanding of what the passwords are, and that's important.
Oh, no doubt. Absolutely. And the thing is, I probably get, I would say, probably 10 calls a year on this. And can you help me? Well, I really can't because I don't have any control over that server. But I can give you some steps that you're going to have to take. You got to get death certificates, you got to get copies, and you got to be ready to have this thing go on for a month to 6 weeks. It usually takes that long to unwind them. It's not an easy task at all. And it's set up that way to protect people.
Yeah, and you can understand why the banks, et cetera, credit card companies want to make sure that that is secure. Quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about internet service providers. It's important to have fast internet. There are a lot of options in the marketplace, and there are more and more competitors coming into the marketplace that make it confusing. So we'll get into that. And by the way, if you want to visit with Doug about computers, hardware, software, whatever, the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line is the way to do it. You can reach us at 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk on a Saturday, cool, breezy, to close out June already. So that mild winter has turned into a very wet spring and now a cool start out of the summer. Once again, Doug Swinehart joining us. And by the way, you can reach Doug on the stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226. And before we get into internet service providers and what's available out there, and there's a lot of competitors coming online, I do want to get to this one from our text line, and it is a good one. And someone wants to install Linux, and that's great. But what version do you recommend for a beginner? And Doug, I'm sure it depends.
Yeah, I probably would recommend Linux Mint, first of all. But if you're new, don't be afraid to try several distributions. Once you have a machine that you can work on, it doesn't take very long to install it and run at least boot from a CD or a DVD or a USB and take it for a test drive. I've also been looking at another one called Void, V-O-I-D. I think it's a little bit rare yet, but that one's going to be an up-and-comer for sure. No question in my mind of that. But for a beginner, a newbie, I'd say Linux Mint and go with the XFCE desktop. You'd be more than happy.
All right, good. And once again, is this a do-it-yourself project? I mean, in reality, someone that, you know, isn't a computer expert, is this something they can do, Doug, in your opinion?
You know, it really is, but I think this, and this is just my personal belief, if you have an interest, it's going to come very easy. If you really don't want to do it, it's not going to come at all. So it really is the individual. But I will say this, if you're willing to take 4 to 5 hours at most, you'll definitely have something up and running. And you will be glad that you did, because it will expand your knowledge and it will make your comfort level much, much higher than it was before you started. So yeah, I by all means, jump in and take it for a drive.
All right, let's bring in Jerry in St. Paul. Jerry, you're on Tech Talk with Doug.
Yeah, hi, Doug. This is Jerry, and I've met you before.
Okay.
I've got an HP desktop, and when I'm in LibreOffice, I'll type up a letter and give it a title and save it. And next thing happens is it appears on my home screen as a form of a little letter, like a little icon or whatever you call it. And so I've got these, I have at least 10 of these letters on my home screen, and I don't know how they got there, and it's knocking some of the other icons off the screen. So I don't know what's going on.
Are you saving this to a specific folder?
No, I just simply it says, do you want to save it? Yes, I give it a title, and that's it.
Yeah, I know what's going on. At one time, you actually saved a document or something to your desktop, and that became your default. If it asks you if you want to save it, do a save as, or tell it no, and then do a save as. And make sure that they're going into your documents or whatever folder you've selected for that particular document. And if that doesn't work for you, give me a holler, and we'll see if we can get connected up and get you taken care of. It's good to hear from you, Jer.
All right. And by the way, Doug's phone number and email will be available at the end of the program if you want to reach out to him during the week. Once again, we'll throw that out at the end of the program. Saving things to the desktop. That is not a good idea. Setting up folders, saving documents, organizing those things. We talk about it all the time. It is a big deal. But putting a lot of stuff on the desktop, shortcuts, that's one thing. Mm-hmm. But actually saving things to the desktop, generally not a good thing.
Outstanding advice. And I tell people too, you know, if it's something that's temporary, say, for example, you want to download ADW Cleaner and run a quick clean. That's an executable file. You put that on a desktop before it runs, and as soon as it's done, get rid of it. Right-click on it and delete it when you're finished. Yeah, don't let your desktop get dirty. I'm glad that this concerns Jerry, because he'll keep a nice desktop then. We'll get him squared away.
Yeah. By the way, we have another one from the text line that we want to get to, and that is the Brave browser. Mm-hmm. Does the Brave browser have built-in password assistance? Google does a really nice job of managing passwords, etc. I've had good luck with that over the years. Same thing with Brave. Does that help with passwords?
Yeah, they do. They've got a regular little thing set up, but I recommend that people keep that separate.
Okay.
It's like having your website file saved at the same registrar where you've got your domain name registered. You can do it, but it gives you a lot more control if it's two separate businesses. And if something happens to one, well, then they got to answer to the other one as well. And it's the same thing with password managers. I think that it should be, well, like KeePass is a separate program. It's open source, doesn't cost you anything, cross-platform. And there's several of them that are really good lately. But I really prefer ProtonPass. It's just easy. It's all web-based. There's nothing to install. You just sign up and go rock and roll. And take a look at their VPN while you're there as well. Yeah, it's definitely a good thing to think about and a good thing to manage is passwords, but do it right. And I don't know. I haven't had the best luck with Google Password Manager either. It's continuously asking me this and try this and change that. Pretty demanding. And I find Apple Password Protection kind of the same way. And they're doing it for people's protection, for sure. But if you're aware of what you're doing, you shouldn't need that much guidance. That's my opinion.
All right. Call, a couple of great texts, a break coming up for the weather, and then still plenty of time to reach Doug on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line. The number is 651-461-9226. And, of course, Josh Wheeler is our producer today, doing a great job. You call the studio, you'll visit with Josh, you text, that'll get us right into the program, and we can put you on the air. When we come back, we promise we'll get into Internet service providers. There are a lot of options and more coming online, and Starlink has a new product where you'll actually be able to reach those low-level Starlink satellites with a portable kit that will fit in a backpack. We'll get into all of that coming up in a moment here on News Talk 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk. Doug Swindehart in at our normal time for the first time in quite a while. We're on the air Saturdays between 3 and 4. Sports schedules permitting, of course, and you can reach the program if you want to talk to Doug about computers on the StylesFinancial.com talk and text line 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. And once again, we'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program, and Doug will get back to you as soon as he can. And Doug, we did have one that came in during the break. What is a password manager that you recommend? Someone didn't catch all of that. Maybe you can spell that out for us.
Sure. It's Proton, ProtonPass. And you can get it at Proton, ProtonME. And just take a look at all their products. They give away most of them to test and email for free forever. It's a great program. Great people to work with. But their password manager is really unique. It went in and it picked up all my passwords, came up with a list of the ones I should change as soon as I get time. Didn't push, didn't demand. And I got it set up maybe, I don't know, 3-4 hours. I love this thing. I've been using it ever since. So that's my password manager of choice, Proton Pass at proton.me.
All right, .me being the key.
Yep.
Here's one that I don't think we've ever had on the program. When Microsoft ends support for Windows 11, is there another operating system I can use without replacing my computer? And I know your answer to this, Doug.
Oh, sure. Yeah, you know, and they're saying that they're going to have 12 locked up if you don't have the proper hardware. There's people on the net that have already broken through it. You're going to be able to install 12 as well, just not through Microsoft. And is it cheating? I don't know. It's a real gray area. I don't think they've challenged it yet in court. I don't think that there's much they can say. They give it away, so we're still the product no matter what. But I would recommend at that point, if you're concerned with that, set up a dual boot with Linux. Take your time making the transition, but the faster and the sooner you do that, the better off you're going to be as a whole, I believe. Anyway, so that'd be my advice. But don't throw away that computer. If you want to throw it away my way. I got somebody I can give it to. Don't get too weird. I don't think you have to worry too much about 11 either. I'll bet you money that it'll probably run 6 months to a year after they stop their support.
Well,
just cut the ties and move forward and just be careful.
Yeah, and I wouldn't even really panic because there are so many other options. We bring up Linux all the time, especially for older computers. There's probably a distribution that'll work just fine and allow you to do what you need to do with your computer. I think this idea that we're married to Microsoft in some way, it couldn't be further from the truth.
Oh, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, they do really well at marketing. But I still scratch my head and I say, listen, you know, you guys have been at this for 40 years. You're the best in the world.
Yeah.
Linux has a secure operating system. Why don't you? It's just that alone kind of just leaves a bad taste in my mouth, I guess.
Yeah. So there are plenty of options beyond that. Here's another good one from our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line. The number is 651-461-9226. What is the best UPS uninterrupted power supply for one or two computers? And I think that is, I think that is a valid question. Protecting your equipment with that uninterrupted power supply or UPS is a good idea.
Probably one of the best investments you can make. It will add years of life to any electrical device. But as far as a computer, you don't have to get too carried away. If you got a newer computer, smaller computer, it doesn't take a whole lot of electricity, you probably pick one up for $60, $70. If you want to go whole bore and get something that's like take care of your network or at least a server, you're probably going to be under $200, but they last practically forever. What does go bad from, well, I've changed one battery, I think, in 10 years. And they send you the battery, you send your battery back to them, it's disposed of properly. And if I'm not mistaken, it cost me $60. So I've got one UPS from American Power Supply, APC, that I believe is close to 25 years old. I've replaced the battery once. I've got two other ones that I bought since then, one of my TV and my entertainment center. I wouldn't be without them. I think they're just a cream de la creme, and they will save you money in the long run. I guarantee it.
Yeah, a very good investment. And really, if you've got a lot of money in a large display, for instance, smart television, etc., it really is well worth the money to make sure. And once again, it's like having a fuel filter in your car. It's just kind of a clean power, steady power to any important expense of electrical equipment. And
that's a fantastic analogy. Absolutely fantastic. Yeah, you're getting clean power. If you put an oscilloscope on, and it's just the cities, it's everywhere. We are suffering with our electrical at this point. Our grid is really overtaxed. And if you put an oscilloscope on there, it'll show 18, 20% variance each way, up and down. Now, you put a UPS, a non-interruptible power supply in there, and put an oscilloscope into that, it's 1% to 2%. It really is like putting clean gas in your car. That's a great analogy, Steve.
Yeah, and I've learned that from you over the years. That's the way you've explained it, Doug, and it is a great way to go. Another thing we want to get into, and that is, and people see, hear the ads all the time for various internet service providers.
Oh.
I would say the most aggressive in the marketplace right now is T-Mobile with the appliance. It's about the size of a coffee pot, if you will, or a coffee maker that you set on the counter somewhere in the house. It brings in 5G cellular signals from T-Mobile and converts that to home Wi-Fi to run your smart TV, your laptops, your computers, what have you. And they're pricing it very aggressively, et cetera, $50-$60 a month, and so on and so forth. Of course, there's wired connections, CenturyLink, Xfinity from Comcast, all of those types of providers, depending on where you live. You know, that hard wire coming into the house, whether it's a coax or DSL or what have you. Satellite, Starlink. There are options there as well. There are other providers coming into the marketplace offering fiber, et cetera. Doug, where do people go? Where do they turn? I suppose it depends on their situation.
Oh, yeah. You know, this is and something interesting in our area, Steve, that I'm surprised you haven't gotten a notice yet. CenturyLink was acquired by Lumen Company. And Lumen Companies, at that same time, was starting their own fiber company called Quantum Fiber. They acquired CenturyLink, and CenturyLink will be, I believe, only providing DSL up to 128 or 256 megabits. So there, anybody like your CenturyLink, I think it's going to convert to Quantum.
Yeah,
I think it's going to be interesting. This appears to be an extremely aggressive company. They're putting in equipment like crazy. Xfinity now is upgrading all their equipment, and they upgraded equipment in my place, and I'm having some difficulty. I think I'm going to have to call them this week. It's getting a little out of hand, and I'm going to need some advice as to what's going on. I mean, it's just bizarre. But we'll get that worked out, too. But I'm waiting for this Quantum Fiber. I think when it hits, I think I'm going to try it.
Yeah, and then, of course, another big player, they're doing launches all the time, and you probably see it in the news. SpaceX did another launch of X amount of Starlink satellites, and Starlink continues to be an option, whether you live in the cities or you live out in the country and you really don't have any wired option, or 5G isn't an option. And now they've added a brand new feature, and this is Starlink Roam, and that is a smaller piece of equipment, and once again, you still have an upfront equipment cost, $500-$600. Some areas of the country where demand isn't as great, they're discounting, and it can be expensive, over $100 a month, but this can be an option, and this is really kind of a quantum leap from the old satellite-based internet service providers. This is a whole different new network, low-level satellites, high speeds, a lot of bandwidth, etc.
Oh, yeah. You know, and people say, well, it's new technology. Well, it really isn't. Low-level satellites, they've had in Japan since the early 80s. They can't really bury cable in Japan because of their terrain and the hurricanes and weather and whatnot, earthquakes. So they've been using low-level satellites for years. Now, I will say this. The low-level satellites that SpaceX is putting up is brand-new technology within, but the technology of low-level is still proven, tried, and true. And I look forward to them getting as many satellites up. So he wants to cover the globe. And I think internet service and cell phone service is going to take a huge leap forward once he gets that accomplished. It's going to be a new day. I look forward to that for sure.
Yeah, there are thousands in orbit now, and they're launching sometimes multiple launches per week as of late, continuing to expand that network. But it could be a good option for snowbirds. Hey, pack this thing up and you go to Arizona or Florida or Texas or wherever you go and bring your internet with you, and then at least you don't have two bills, one at the place down south and one here in the upper Midwest. So it could be a very good option.
Well, you get me going with that. I've been saying for years that people should be charged for usage, no matter where you are, no matter where you're connected. You have one internet. You're one person. You're only connected one place. This nonsense of having to have one at the cabin, one at home, one at work, there's really no reason for it. It's just put together for the big corporations to make more money and thus get to pay more. There's ways around this that would just make so much more sense and save a ton of traffic on the internet to boot.
Kind of a pay by IP address.
Absolutely. Yeah. Or whatever. It's pretty simple. They've got us all identified now anyway, so it doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Let's have some good come of that.
Quick break. 11 minutes now in front of 4 o'clock. Tech Talk resumes in a moment. If you want to reach us, you are able to do it on our stylesfinancial.com talk and text line, 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226, here on News Talk, 830-WCCO. It is Tech Talk, final minutes of the program. We'll have Doug's phone number and email at the end of the program. We'll have all the news and weather at 4. Then Steve Carney will take us outdoors. We'll get into a big sports Saturday, talk Twins a little bit later on. Loons are in action in Portland. As a matter of fact, Loons in Portland, Twins in Seattle tonight. I doubt they shared a charter out there, but we can't be too sure. And a little bit later on in the program, we'll put a wrap on the men's gymnastics finals underway at the moment at Target Center. The women's finals are tomorrow night. All right, Doug, back to APCs or APC, the UPS Uninterrupted Power Supplies. The APC brand, that's what you typically use, correct?
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of other good ones, too. Triplight. I know that Cyber Guys have really improved theirs, but once I find something that works, I kind of stay loyal with it, Steve. So I'm definitely biased towards American Power supply. They're just it. They got all the big ones for most of the emergency centers around the country, and they've been supplying homeowners for many, many years. People with high-end stereo equipment. Just really big, and they make them for rack mounts, and you name it, they've got it. There's no question in my mind. You'll definitely find what you need, and you won't overspend.
Yeah, and once again, there's a lot of good brands out there. Do your research, but well worth the investment for sure.
No
Doug,
doubt.
This is a text about older iPhones, and this will probably have to be it. We got to go quick. Mm-hmm. Someone has an older iPhone, and it won't update. It's time. It's time to move on.
Time to get a new one. Yeah, yeah. You really don't have a lot of choice. Yeah. Apple brings these things end of life, and it's just part of the thing. But they would have told you that up front. There's no question. I mean, Apple does this. You can't let their equipment go on forever. It'd be supporting everything. If it still works and you want to gamble, that's okay too. But I think it's time for a new phone.
Yeah, and some of the apps, you're not going to be able to update apps. There's security issues, et cetera. Yeah, it is a bummer. Even if you take care of them, they are doomed to fail at some point.
Doubt.
All right, Doug,
no.
We've got to run. Your phone number and email, how do people reach you?
Oh, thank you, Steve. 651-552-9543. And, of course, admin@WCCOTech.com. admin@WCCOTech.com. 651-552-9543. And thank you so much, Steve, and have a good weekend.
Yeah, good to visit with you, Doug. We'll do it again soon. Thanks so much for the time. There he is, Doug Swindhart, Tech Talk. Saturday is between 3 and 4. Once again, sports schedules permitting. And today's sports schedule permitted. Twins are in Seattle later tonight. Here on News Talk 830-WCCO, we'll have all the news, all the weather coming up momentarily. Then we'll go outdoors with Steve Carney on a Saturday here at CCO.